Good morning. I'm great. How about you guys?
Yep, rolling along right here. June's here. That's good.
Yay.
One day closer to warmer weather all the time. It's summertime. We enjoy it. That means nothing's going on in the MCCSC, so we'll talk to you next August.
Okie dokie. Then see you later.
No,
bye-bye.
That's
Don't
not.
To tip your server.
That's exactly right. What do you guys have going on?
Well, you know, we had we celebrated four commencements last weekend.
Very busy.
Which is, you know, one of the real beauties of our school corporation is that we can have two comprehensive high schools, our larger high schools, North and South, and then we have two other schools, the Academy for Science and Entrepreneurship and our Bloomington Graduation School. So it's, you know, all four are very individual and unique commencement ceremonies. They're all different from each other, and, you know, that's what it's all about. We want to get our kids through school, and we want to get them graduated. So that was a great time to celebrate with those students and teachers and all the family members who were around, and it's always a great time, and I know Keith loves it too.
Oh, it's amazing. We had 400-plus graduates at Bloomington South, and we had 300 and some at Bloomington North. What, about 25 in the academy and about 12 or 15 in the graduate school.
Right. And so, and, you know, the graduation school and the academy were in Alumni Hall at the Union. But once again this year, and I think people are convinced it's the way to do it, is to have the commencement ceremonies in the high school gyms, which are just transformed into something that doesn't necessarily look like a gym. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance with all of the decorations and the sets and the way that they've done everything. So I think people really appreciate being able to be in their high school.
We had Mark Fletcher on Tuesday, and Mike asked him specifically, when Assembly Hall is ready to go again, what about moving back there? And Mark's response was they were a little iffy about how it was going to work out having the graduation in the school, but he's kind of convinced that's the route to go.
Well, it certainly seems that the graduating seniors and their families like it, and so I think maybe that's where we have to let the decision lie. There were some advantages to Assembly Hall in terms of space, but our two high schools have overflow space where people can watch on a live stream. They can still watch the commencement ceremony. So, you know, I think it's really up to the high schools, and if especially the families appreciate that. I think it was a great time.
Well, it's interesting, too, and I've said it, that neither of the gyms looks like the gym that you're playing basketball in. Yeah, it's a gym. You know that. But, boy, they do such a beautiful job with it. And in both of the gyms, there were seats available, other places you could sit. But as Mark Fletcher said, if you wanted to sit in a padded seat in the auditorium and watch it on TV, you could do it there, too.
Right. Yeah, so there really is plenty of room. They have staffing, and we have assistance from our police departments in terms of parking and getting people in and getting people out. So that really isn't too much of a problem. So, yeah, the gyms looked like a commencement hall, and that's what it was all about.
And excellent.
In both schools, they ran the ceremony from start to finish in right about an hour.
Which is amazing for having that many people go through the line.
It really was.
Did it sound like an auction?
No, not at all.
You know, you would think so, and I was just going to say that, Mike. Nothing seems rushed. There are class speeches from students. There is some music. The principal always makes a statement about the number of scholarships and the different categories of participation of students. And nothing really seems rushed, but it's just very, very well organized.
Before we leave this topic, I want to mention specifically the graduation
school. Adam.
No, you don't go fast, but the graduation school is unique because these are kids that can't necessarily handle the normal classroom, school kind of situation, and they're still getting an education, they're still taking the classes and all the other things, but the unique part about that school was each of the graduates spoke and talked about the fact of how this school was probably the only way they would have finished a high school diploma.
You know, and that's what is so, I think, important, I know, to you and to me and to everyone else, is that here, this is a school where these kids really, really, and their families, really value this diploma. For a lot of kids, I think it's just like, oh, this is one step in a whole lot of steps. For the students at the graduation school, this was so important to them. Some of them will go on to college. Some of them will go into the workforce. Some of them might go into the military. But it's just so meaningful. And you're right, Keith, they all did speak about the fact that they might not have ever finished school, but this is something that gave them a different opportunity and a second chance. So,
how long has that been around?
It used to be called Aurora.
Okay, man, the branding, you guys, woo!
Right.
Keeping the flow chart. I need a whiteboard in here with it was this, and we changed it to this. What about the Entrepreneurship for Science and Technology? What's that called these days?
Yeah.
It's called the Academy for Science and Entrepreneurship, but it used to be called New Tech High School.
See?
So,
all right. Well, that's good. That's why we have you guys on every Thursday, so people don't get lost or think there's 400 schools in our district.
No, but we're getting close to it, aren't we?
Well, but that's the thing, because it provides opportunities for people, and these great stories come out every May when we have the graduation process, and that's fantastic to hear.
And that's really it. We've got different options for different learning needs for different students, and I'm very grateful that we're able to do that. And again, this is a community that supports education. So we're able to do those kinds of things in a community like this.
And you mentioned military. It was interesting at the academy, one of the graduates had already completed his National Guard service training and was there in his uniform underneath of his cap and gown that was his National Guard uniform. So
pretty cool stuff going on.
Hey, the I-STEP. It seems to be in the news again, as though it's never not in the news.
Is this positive news?
Well, it depends on what you consider positive. You know, we took the test, and in the past, it's taken a little while to get the results. So they've announced that, hey, the results are ready. The schools will get them in June.
But
they're not going to announce and do some of the other things until maybe August, because the parents get a chance to look at the scores and see if they want to... see about a retake or retest.
So let's start from the beginning here. What is the standard procedure of how this used to be, and why is this a little bit odd?
Well, you know, at one time we administered the I-STEP in the fall, and then the State Department of Education changed it to the spring, thinking that if we administer it in the spring, we can get results so that teachers can use that for to inform their instruction the following fall. But we keep getting delayed with the way we get the results out. So you know that we've waited and waited and waited for months. And so now, you know, I think waiting until June really doesn't help, because as Keith said, families aren't around, teachers aren't around, parents can't go contest or ask about the scores, discuss whether they believe the scores are accurate or not. So that's going to be because teachers aren't around in the summer. And so that's going to be pushed back until August. So I don't know when those scores will be released so that it really can inform any teacher instruction. So once again, I'm not really sure. Well, I've never thought this test was really valuable for the way it was being used. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens with this.
So the parents get a look at the scores, and then what is this all about?
They can look at the scores, and...
Before who gets to look at the scores?
The schools get the scores, but nothing will be released until
we can't announce anything.
To see it first.
What would you be announcing?
Yeah. We would... Well, see, that's the catch, Mike, because they use the scores then to grade schools and as part of the teacher evaluation, so that's the whole thing that won't be announced. And that part I don't really care about, but I really care about teachers having the information. So I'm not sure that teachers will have the information or how much it really will help them, because we have so many regular ongoing assessments in our schools, in every grade, in every class, that are separate from the I-STEP, so that teachers do know where students are, they do know what they need to learn. So again, I don't know. I think it's an awful lot of money for a state to spend on something that I'm not sure is being used appropriately.
Hold on, and I want to get back to this because so the parents get to see the test results, then the schools get the test results, and why I don't
schools get the test results in June.
Okay,
but
yeah,
they won't announce the things until parents have a chance to say, you know, I think my child deserves another opportunity, or my child
well,
shouldn't
we,
be
included. Why don't you just take it 57 times till you get the exact score you want?
Well, but you might ask rightfully, Mike, is, well, don't they realize the parents are going to be and the teachers aren't going to be there in June, July, and August? You know, how come this is news?
You guys, you got me. I don't know.
I'm not sure, Glass, that anybody's saying, you know, I'm going to get it. I want another test. But, you know, sometimes there are some kind of problems with scoring. School corporations go through the same things, too, with the way things are scored or the way things are measured or the way things are calculated. And so there's, I don't want to call it an appeal process, but there's
what are you appealing? I mean, that's just your score is what your score is. If you had a bad, I mean, we just want to. Why doesn't everybody just write down the score they want and we'll give it to you? Wouldn't that be easier?
There's this whole big formula that they use that you take this number of tests times the cohort of students taking it times how many people improve versus how many people.
Imagine if you took all that manpower and brain power and sat around and figured out a better way to get kids
and
educated
money.
Instead of
and
how to
money.
Test them. So, yeah.
What it cost to do that.
I'm done with iStep today. We're moving on. I'm not talking about that anymore.
Okay.
Area graduates named National Merit Scholars. What the heck's a National Merit Scholar? That's way above my pay grade.
It's above our pay grade, too. Those are the students who have competed in, who have scored at a certain level to be eligible for the National Merit Scholarship. So it's an academically based measurement in scholarship.
You've heard us talk about the National Merit finalists.
Yes,
well,
these are the winners now. Wow, congratulations! And I'm going to try to pronounce these names, but don't get too mad at me. Ian Zanger from Edgewood. Congratulations there. He wins his at Purdue. Silka Brisuda and Matthew Zelenin, both of South, will attend IU. So congratulations to those local kids. How about that? There's only 3,000 of them nationwide, so to be in that club is pretty cool, Keith.
Right, exactly.
Sue, before we let you go, there's a major national story, but it's got a firestorm started in Indiana because Todd Rokita has introduced or says he's going to introduce legislation to cut off the free and reduced lunch program and the eligibility and those kinds of things. And I know you have some very passionate feelings about that.
Well, you know, yeah, and he's proposed it, and it came out of committee. And so the way that it works now, and Julio Alonso, the director of the Hoosier Hills Food Bank, my very good friend, I'm so proud of him, had a nice guest editorial yesterday about this. And what Rokita would like to do, right now, if there are 40% of a school's population of kids who are eligible, who are in the cutoff for free and reduced lunch, then everybody in that school gets it. Rokita wants to raise it to 60%. Now, when this was changed, I think, in 2010. So instead of every single person having to apply and then everything had to be verified and a whole lot of paperwork done, it went to this system of just everybody in the school got it. And according to different reports, one from the Huffington Post, is that it would cost more money to go back to the old system of verifying and doing all the paperwork necessary for the federal government if we went back to the old system where people have to individually apply than it does now with just eliminating that paperwork and allowing everyone in that school to have free lunches. We have evidence from our schools that when kids are hungry, they don't learn. They can't learn. We know that kids come to school a lot of times for the safety and comfort and the food that they get in the school so that they can learn. So I don't know how this is going to make its way through the Congress, what the timetable is or anything else, but this certainly has raised a lot of national attention, and especially here where we know at least one in every five kids suffers from food scarcity and doesn't have enough to eat. So that's an awful lot of children in our school corporation.
Well, yeah. And again, what are we trying to solve with this?
Well, Mr. Akita claims it's going to save money that can be used to provide breakfasts and summer meals. Now, again, according to the news sources I've seen and people who work in the system, they say it's not going to save that money because individual school districts and states and the government, there's so much paperwork for compliance and verification that all goes out the window. So
that's instead, the cost of doing business, huh?
Let's just do it the way we are now, where a school that has been identified with at least 40% of students in poverty, just let them all have the meals. Plus, it doesn't stigmatize the kid who has to come through and say, hey, I get a free meal, and they don't have to be embarrassed by that. It's just a much easier, more fluid program that gets kids the food. And, you know, Mike, you've been on the cafeteria crawl with me, and while we say it's a good lunch, it certainly isn't a fancy lunch. It's not like
steak.
It's not something that's a high-priced meal or anything else like that.
No, it's sustenance is what it is.
Right.
And, all right, so we'll keep an eye on that, how that moves forward.
Okay.
As well.
That would be great.
All right, we'll do that, and we'll get caught up next Thursday as the I-Step world turns and everything else that goes on. So keep us in the loop. That's why we appreciate catching up with you guys on Thursday mornings.
Okay. Thanks, Glass. Thanks, Keith.
Bye. Sue Wanzer, Keith Klein, MCCSC school board members, and they join us every Thursday morning just after 8:05.